Welcome to Sounding Off with Kim Munson, our podcast where we're getting more in-depth on many of these issues. Thrilled to have on the line with me Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She was one of the few people in America that actually read the PPACA or Obamacare before it was passed into law. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
Tell you, there's a lot of big issues happening out there, and one of those is the affront on our civil rights, and I saw that happen just yesterday. There was an online virtual meeting of my city council where they actually beefed up their enforcement ordinance, the component of their enforcement, in preparation to mandate that all people in retail establishments that are indoors wear face masks. Now, you and I have talked about face masks, and certainly there's some benefits, or could be some benefits, but there's also detriments. And the real danger here is the freedom aspect, Dr. Jill Vecchio, is forcing people to do this, making businesses, quote unquote, collaborate with the city to make people do something. And, you know, Obamacare was the first time in the history of America that people would be penalized for not doing something. So for not having health insurance, they could be penalized. And now we're fast forwarding here. People could be penalized for not doing something. And I see big danger in that, Dr. Jill Vecchio.
I totally agree. And the nice thing is, what's incredibly encouraging to me is that Attorney General William Barr is allowing states and people, businesses, and individuals within states to file lawsuits against the governors and against the state if they're being forced to stay inside. And that could very well extend over to this forcing you to wear a mask and things like that. He's standing up saying, this isn't right. This is an obvious abuse of authority and an abuse of our rights. So, and that's with the stay-at-home orders, like extending the stay-at-home orders and telling people they have to stay in their homes and you know, arresting people for being out and arresting people for attending a church service while still, you know, within their own cars. You know, that kind of thing. The Attorney General is actually starting to go after that, and he's allowing people to file lawsuits. So I think, you know what, and maybe that's something that could be pursued. Maybe some groups need to get together and consider whether or not they need to file a lawsuit. Because, you know, I think there are a lot of people in so many states that are rebelling at this point.
Well, and this is really coming through. As you know, Jill, I served on city council here in Lone Tree. So I got a front row seat on just kind of how this whole thing works. And so what they're trying to do, this is through the Metro Mayor's Caucus. And this is me connecting the dots, is the caucus. It's a meeting of all the mayors. I'm going to change the name to the Metro Mayor's Cabal, because what they're trying to do is to is to encourage each of these mayors to go to their city councils and pressure them to put in these ordinances of mandatory face masks or face coverings. And so it's no longer the Metro Mayor's Caucus. It's the Metro Mayor's Cabal. And what they want to do is, if we all do it, then people won't have any place to go for freedom. But I've heard a lot of people say that they are not going to go to Lone Tree to shop. And I love the Safeway in my hometown, but if I'm forced to wear a face covering by the government, I'm going to have to make a different choice. Now, if a business, Jill, says to us, we want you to wear a face covering if you want to come in and shop in our business or use our services, if the business says that, I'm okay with that. But it's with government coming in, and they are actually, quote unquote, collaborating with the businesses, that's another word for force, to actually snitch on people to law enforcement. And so here we would, and it puts our police in such a difficult situation. So your final comment on that, because we've got a lot more to talk about.
No, I agree completely. And, you know, it takes all the fun out of doing the right thing when somebody tries to force you to do it. And it's like, hold on, that's not your job. That's not your job. So automatically, I don't necessarily want to do that, even though, you know, if you didn't tell me I had to, I might choose to. But it is absolutely a private individual, private business decision. Now, the government could say you can't come into a government building without wearing a cloth covering. You can't, you know, whatever, but you can't. All the state representatives have to wear face covers when they go into legislative session, which I'm fine with them staying out of legislative session at this point, to be honest. But you know, they can can control their own areas, but, you know, you're not going to come in here and control mine. I think, you know what, the bottom line is they forget who's supposed to be in charge. And we forget that we need to investigate people a heck of a lot more before we put them in these positions of power. That's the lesson here. They need to figure out,
you know,
to be more careful about who we put in office, what they really believe, and you know, they take an oath of office. I think there should be some more streamlined ways to hold people accountable rather than having to spend millions of dollars on some long protracted recall effort. I mean, there ought to be some way. I'd love to have some way where we can hold people, you know, between elections, that we can hold our elected people accountable and say, you know what, this is not constitutional. But the system in Colorado is just so messed up now. We have Colorado Supreme Court justices that don't want to abide by the Constitution. That, I mean, it's just kind of overwhelming at this point how abusive people are on both sides of the aisle. These are people that are supposedly Republican, quote unquote, and they don't know they don't know the Constitution for beans, and yet they took an oath to uphold something that they don't even understand. That just drives me bats.
Well, at least three of these city council members on Lone Tree City Council, I think, are Republicans. So it is an abuse of power on both sides of the aisle. I just had a very funny thing when you were talking about the fact that our politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties will be needing to wear face masks or bandanas or whatever over their face. It'll make them look like the outlaws that they really are right now, Jill.
Exactly. Now the people at the bank can recognize them. Yeah.
Exactly. So let's jump on over. We wanted to talk about Cloward and Piven, and you were really the one that brought this to my attention. So set this up for our listeners. Who were Cloward and Piven? I know that we've talked about them on some of the other podcasts, but set this up for our listeners.
Right. I think this might be a good time to continue to pick up on Cloward and Piven again, because they were two university professors. I think they're actually married, at least at one point. Cloward and Piven from Columbia University, and a whole lot of, you know, very esteemed university. Obama went to Columbia. Cloward and Piven were really close to the Clintons, to the Obamas. So they wrote this paper in the 1960s called The Weight of the Poor, and it was a paper explaining how they wanted to address the issue of poverty and how they wanted to turn it into, rather than a local issue, turn it into a state issue and then a national issue. And their plan for doing that was to overwhelm the welfare systems and the Medicaid systems by signing up as many people as possible, hence community organizers, i.e. Barack Obama was a community organizer. That was the idea. The communities, you put people out there to sign up as many people to go on the welfare rolls and Medicaid rolls as possible so that you would overwhelm the system. And they actually succeeded in bankrupting the state of New York. One was like in the 70s, I think it was, mm-hmm. 70s or 80s, something like that. So, I mean, they were very successful. The idea is whereas we believe that, like conservatives believe that decisions are best made at the lowest possible level. You help your fellow citizen rather than expecting the government to do it. This was just the opposite. Their plan is you take the decision making to a higher level and a higher level and a higher level, so it's more centralized control. You have to consolidate the power into a smaller number of individuals that you can then control. And mm-hmm. as long as that consolidated power is seen by the welfare state, the people getting the welfare and the assistance, as long as that consolidated power can keep them convinced that they have to have that consolidated power in office, i.e. Democrats, then they can be in power forever, because that will create a huge voting block for them so that they can stay in power forever. Does that make sense? Is that explained okay?
Yeah, and it does. And so what was so interesting about this last presidential election with Donald Trump is that he came to these people that have been under this consolidated power. I'm thinking of the inner city black population, that they're subsisting. They're getting enough government payments to subsist, but not really go after their hopes and dreams. And of course, we see the homicide reports, the murder reports coming out of Chicago. And I have to think that most parents in these black communities really would like to have safe communities for their children. So when Donald Trump comes in and says, this is what it's been like for the last 50 years, give me a chance. And, you know, what we had seen before this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption is that black unemployment was at its lowest levels in probably history, or darn close. We saw the same thing with unemployment levels with women, with Hispanics. So when he comes in and says, what do you have to lose? And people were working. They had the dignity of work. He really disrupted their mantra that had been so successful, Jill Vecchio.
Absolutely. I mean, Trump has done, it's been brilliant, but the Cloward and Piven thinking people in the Democrat Party, that you would consider them leftist, right? So he has piece by piece dismantled their entire platform. So they are, and they know that with his success and increased prosperity, increased power over their own decision making that he's created for a whole subset of our country, they're seeing for the first time that they can make decisions on their own. They don't need a political party to give them things. They just need a political party to give them the opportunity to get things for themselves. So Trump has actually put his money where his mouth is, right? I mean, he's not just talking the talk. He's been walking the walk the whole way through, and it's working. So I think what the whole country has seen is that Congress has been completely useless. And in spite of Congress being ultimately completely useless, both sides of the aisle, Trump has accomplished more than any administration in, like, what, 50 years? It's pretty incredible.
It has been pretty incredible.
So he's ruining their party. So the Cloward and Piven. So the Democrats have to, in my opinion, you know, if you want to kind of, it's not really conspiracy. I think it's just a way to think about how they think. But they can't conceive of, these Democrat leftists and people who agree with them cannot conceive of a problem that shouldn't be solved by government. And they've just been so brainwashed to believe that this consolidation of power is the best thing. And I can tell you there are a whole lot of millennial kids who believe the same thing, because that's what they're being taught. That's how they're being indoctrinated, is if there's a problem, government has to solve it. If there's something bad happens to somebody, somebody has to be blamed for it. The victim mentality, and if you're a victim, then you always have to have somebody taking care of you, right? So essentially, everybody's right. Been bullied, and everybody's a victim of something. And therefore, there has to be somebody to take care of them. So the Cloward and Piven, which creates the environment of increased dependency, almost universal dependency, that can easily overwhelm a system. This COVID-19 is a classic example. Because now we have a whole generation of millennials saying they're afraid to go back to work. So now they've got a new fear, and now they're a new victim of something, right? So now they have to have somebody else take care of them. So government has to pay me so I don't have to go back to work, because I'm afraid to go back to work. I mean, there are kids having like anxiety attacks at the idea of going back to their place of work, even though if you took out New York and New Jersey, this would be not that big of a deal at all. I mean, New York, New Jersey, that was terrible and dramatic and overwhelming. At the same time, and the rest of the country really kind of been doing okay. So, I mean, relatively speaking, and obviously, we mourn every death, but I can tell you a whole lot more people died of heart attacks, strokes, and car accidents in that period of time. So we got to keep in perspective. But they're using it to overwhelm the system yet again.
Yes. Oh, you think? And take a look at that. A couple of things. I want to mention that this Democrat Party is not the Democrat Party of JFK. This Democrat Party is now being controlled by leftist activists that want to control other people's lives. So that's an important point. The other thing regarding New York and New Jersey and the tragedy there with the deaths from the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is that Andrew Cuomo was out there on one of his press conferences saying every life is valuable. And, I care about my mother, and so I want to do everything I can, regarding our elderly population, I'm paraphrasing. And then we find news stories where he is actually forcing nursing homes to take COVID-19 positive patients. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that that's going to be a problem.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. And, so let's overwhelm the nursing homes. Let's overwhelm, what they say and what they do are two very different things frequently. Sometimes they'll tell you exactly what they want, but that's the exception to the rule, in my opinion. But by keeping their state, and I mean, I've got maps of which states are opening in what phases, and then I put next to it a map of which states are run by a governor from which party. And the states that are still shut down, even though their numbers have been good, are almost invariably run by Democrats. So it's in Colorado, we're actually on that map anyway, we're doing better because we're opening more than California is. And why isn't California? There's no reason California couldn't open up a whole lot more. So because they've done a great job controlling their cases. So the whole situation is bizarre. Unless you want to continue to overwhelm a system to consolidate power. And we know that they've gotten so power hungry. Both sides of the aisle have gotten power hungry over this whole thing. But when the Democrats in Congress, when Nancy Pelosi wants to hold up funding to small businesses because she wants to pass Green New Deal stuff, when governors are releasing prisoners, just out into the open, rather than controlling visitation and controlling their own outbreak within the prison, rather than quarantining the prison, they're releasing prisoners. Are you kidding me? I mean, the decisions being made are, you look at some of these decisions, and to me it's classic Cloward and Piven. They're trying to overwhelm our system. If there are people who honestly want the United States economy to fail, number one, so Donald Trump won't get reelected. That's the short term. But in the long term, they want the United States economy to fail so that we will be forced to joining the one world order of the EU and this whole plan that has actually originated with the WHO, the World Health Organization, Agenda 21. So, I mean, it's amazing. Well, all of this can be tied together. In my opinion.
And it's excellent, Jill, that you're doing that. Just another note, maybe one of the reasons that they're letting criminals out of our jails and our prisons so that they can make room for people that are not wearing face coverings when they go out to shop.
Exactly. They'll all be put in solitary confinement, right? Yeah.
Okay. Let's continue on. You are doing an excellent job of connecting the dots of what is happening here with Cloward and Piven. And, you know, a couple of things. When you mention overwhelm the system, I don't know if you remember back when Obama was president, but they had all of these different advertisements on television and on the radio, and it would be two women talking to each other about, oh, I'm getting all my fruits and vegetables, my fresh fruits and vegetables, so I eat healthier with my SNAP money. And the SNAP money was the from the government, and it was, you know, it was like your food stamps, but they called it the right. SNAP program. And then they talked about how wonderful it was, and just go on over and sign up, so that they could get more and more people signed up on the food stamp program.
Right, exactly. And now, okay, also remember during Obama, Life of Julia, you remember that? So there's this like this animated thing, you can probably still see it on YouTube, where this woman, the little girl is born throughout her life, you don't see her hanging out with her parents. Throughout her life, it outlines how the government is helping her to live a happy life. Not how her parents are, not how she is helping herself, not how she is determining her own future. How the government helps Julia every step of the way throughout her life. Now, wow. But, and you know what? And that was Obama administration, and they put that out there, and they were proud of that. Okay, so that right there tells you this is the game plan. This is a game plan. This is how you control your voting base. This is how you control a population, is by making sure that they are dependent on you, the government. So as long as states now the states expecting the federal government to bail them out of their deficit spending, again, overwhelming the system.
Well, and to that point, Julia may
be level, yeah.
Yeah, two things. Julia may be dependent on the government, but not to live a life where you're pursuing your life, your happiness, you know, going after your hopes and dreams, is it's just an existence. It's not a life. That's the first thing. And let's see, the second thing you just, never mind, let's continue on. I just, as I'm making that point, I forgot the other one, Jill, so continue on.
Oh, no, that's okay. You know, and I think as frustrating it is that we're dealing with this, with all the things, you know, it's like it's COVID wasn't enough to have to deal with, you know, and people could shut down. It was, you know, I think it was kind of a, not necessarily a bad reset button in a lot of ways for our country to kind of go settle down a little bit. We got a problem here. Let's focus on this problem. As Americans, we'll fix this problem. And I think we've done a darn good job of getting this thing under control, buying some time so we can figure out what it is. There's still a lot of things we don't know, but and then coming up with infrastructure so that we can deal with it on our own, right? Not depending on somebody else. Because let's face it, this isn't the only time this is going to happen. China or some other country, and I, you know, in my opinion, this was accidentally released from a research lab doing biomedical research, and this is probably a bioengineered virus. I don't think it was purposely released. I think that if they wanted to purposely release it, China would have done a much better job. So this seems to me like it was accidental, because it was just kind of clumsy. But now that China, and we see that the WHO works with China, we see that a whole lot of industries, a whole lot of people, the Democrat Party thinks more of the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, apparently, than they do their own country's administration, you know, right? They do their own president and his administration. So that I find really disturbing, but this isn't going to be the first time we're dealing with this. There's going to be another one, and I'll bet it's not going to be that long. Once, if China has seen what this did to the United States, what it's doing to European countries, countries all over the world, the economies are collapsing, which falls right into China's palm. So if you don't, you know, what we're going through right now is, I think we have to look at it as though we are setting the stage for the next time this happens. We're going to be more prepared. And we're not going to be so surprised by it. We're not going to be so shocked by it. And we're going to know what to do about it without, and I think we'll also hopefully have in place restrictions on what powers, or we'll be more tuned in to what powers our governors and local leaders and stuff might try to abuse so that we can nip that in the bud right away. You know, it's kind of like we played the game for a little while and we believed it was necessary. Yes, we agreed to do this. Now we're not agreeing, and now you're putting the hammer down on us. Oh, that ain't going to work, and we can't let that happen again.
Well, and I think that's another positive thing about this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption is we see people for who they are. And I can't remember which guy said it. I think it's one of the representatives in Congress. One of the congressmen said that power does not corrupt the man. Power reveals the man. And I thought that was really interesting.
I think that's a better way. That's a really good way to put it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like
mm-hmm.
the devil inside and how much you can let that loose. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So continue on. Cloward and Piven, what's the next dot that you're going to connect for us, Dr. Jill?
Let's see here. China, just so everybody kind of understands, China realizes that from a military standpoint, they may or may not win an armed conflict. So they have to abide by, or they have to explore what we call, what they call unrestricted warfare. That's what they call it, unrestricted warfare, which includes chemical, biological, all these different methods of warfare, cybercrime, all that. I think, and this probably, I'm trying to see if I can connect this to Cloward and Piven, but I think it's an important concept to kind of plant in people's head to think about it this way, that we focus so much on military combat and armed combat that we forget how much damage can be done with other methods of warfare. And this is biological warfare. Maybe it was an accidentally released, but China certainly didn't respond to it in a benign fashion. They allowed it to spread all over the place. And then they've lied about it continually, which is a type of warfare. I'm not saying we should go to war with China by any stretch of the imagination, but for several administrations, starting obviously when Nixon visited China, but then, you know, Henry Kissinger was kind of a common thread for decades with China, and multiple administrations have allowed the United States to expose itself through sharing technology. China has had access to our scientists and scientists all over the world, free access. They have access to our scientific discoveries. It's amazing the access that we and other countries have allowed China to have, and we've gotten cheap labor. Right, we got cheap manufacturing.
Right,
and yet, in spite of cheap manufacturing, we've exposed ourselves completely, and our weaknesses have been completely exposed by this one pandemic. To how we need to rethink about China, because it was, you know, and we kept making it okay. I mean, Clinton was what Chinese CCP leaders were sleeping in the Lincoln bedroom. I mean, kind of, when you look back, it's kind of like those were probably really bad ideas, and for that to transpire over time. So I think that's going to be one of the other things. You talk about overwhelming a system by having a consolidated power of China. Think about how easy it was for them to overwhelm our system. So really the Cloward and Piven thing is just kind of a mindset for, obviously their paper was about war on poverty and making kind of local state, and it's been expanded nationally by the Clintons and the Obamas. And let's face it, and China is really using that same kind of a playbook. I'm not saying they read Cloward and Piven, but they're using the same kind of a playbook, create, you know, exploit the weaknesses so that the system is overwhelmed. And by overwhelming the economy, then you can collapse a country. You don't have to have a nuclear bomb to destroy a country. And I think that's what we've really found
and
out.
Jill, right. And Jill, what we then now have seen is all the way from our local level, our city councils, to in some cases our mayors, county commissioners, our governor, that they are aiding and abetting this this pandemic, if you will, this disruption in our economy, which a lot of people are going to really hurt from that. And they're all doing it under the guise of we're taking care of people, and it's a bunch of nonsense. So we're over time on this particular podcast. It goes so darn quickly. What's the final thought that you want to leave with our listeners this week? And then next week we'll jump into some of this other stuff. So Dr. Jill Vecchio, your final thought for today.
Be careful who you put in power, you know, and never underestimate the damage that city council can do. And I'm guilty that I haven't kept up with city council, and it's hard to know what these people are really like. But and during all this, it's really hard to keep track of stuff. There's so much information flying in day and throughout the night. Executive orders are issued in the middle of the night. I mean, it's craziness. You can't keep track. And that's part of the game plan. But we all need to wake up and pay attention to what every one of our elected officials is up to, and hold them accountable.
For sure. That is for sure, Dr. Jovic.
Because you do great, 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 great work on all of this. I really appreciate it. We all should.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jill. As Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away, and that we have to fight for it. And we're going to do that. So thank you so much, Dr. Jill Vecchio. This is Sounding Off with Kim Munson, and we'll be back.